The following message was recorded at the Pastor Summit 2025 at Hometown Church, Bloomington, Minnesota. Bivocational or Three Full-Time Jobs by Greg Staninger.
Lord, thank you so much for these men that I presume are bivocational as well as me. And that you just bless this discussion, bless this time, help us to support each other in network and in love. And you would use this mightily in each of our hearts for this time. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. So as part of this, there is a recording on, so I may repeat what some of you said into the recording. You know, so Ben said this or something of that nature. Write his name down. So one of the things I quickly realized as I was doing this this seminar was originally it was going to be a presentation, and I thought, you know what? Most of the people I'm going to be addressing know more about the subject than I do. None of us are subject matter experts. And so, yeah, okay, good. More people are coming in. And oh, here they come. So I thought, hey, let's just do more of a discussion, and here's some questions that will lead you in two areas. One is, yeah, there's some pointers and things that you can pick up and so on, but then there's also some hard things that you may want to pick on. So, like, what do you think about being a bivocational pastor? And some feel that it is a failure. You know, if you're a bivocational pastor, you have failed to get enough money in your church so that you can be full-time. You are not a good pastor. You have to settle on this sub-pastor-like position. And, or particularly if you're hooked up with someone that's full-time, and or there may you may feel like you don't have permission to do this, or that you're sinning, which I've encountered. Some people feel like, hey, this is really wrong. What am I doing? And particularly when you hear other stories. So now we have a bigger group. So what I think I'm going to do is I had Chris. Where's Chris Yeisley?
Hi.
Oh, there you are. And one person, and then where was my, oh yeah, Ashley. So I think I will break it up in three groups. Let's break up into three groups. And what I'd like you to do is we're just going to go through these questions, and it's not just to have a nice discussion group. What I'd like you to do is really investigate in your own heart. These questions are designed specifically to look at what you might be feeling about this your role as a pastor and a bivocational pastor, and then how are you handling that? And what my hope is that the discussion will bring out some of that. So if there's crying, that's awesome, because then I've succeeded. I say whenever there's someone's crying, I have there, that means it was a good conference. Yeah, so, or there's something heartfelt that's shared is really what I'm after. So let's break up into these three groups, and I'll take a group, Ashley will take a group, and Chris will take the other group. And they're not experts either. So their job is to just facilitate discussion. So I'll take a group over here. Let's kind of break it up into
two groups of seven or eight.
Yeah, two groups. Yeah, three groups of seven, eight. Yeah, all right. So, well, I'll take this group here. Whoever wants to come with me. And then at about quarter till, 10 till, we'll come all back together. So you can come with us. And keep it down over there. So, all right. So, we don't have to necessarily go in order or anything, but I will start. And so, I'm going to start with question one. Is just describe the things that I'm involved in. And my name is Greg Staninger. I'm a pastor. I've been pastor since 1998. I've been both full-time and part-time. I've had my own business as electrician. I am a full-time pastor and a full-time nuclear engineer. So, and I have a group of people that report to me, about 20 people, engineers. And so my ministries are music and the church service are my primary responsibilities. There are three pastors. Dean Claypatch is one and Mike Eichen is another. We have a very unique situation. We're all bivocational, so no one is full-time because we have a building, which is the most expensive thing we have. And it works out pretty well because it allows, we each kind of handle it like a business. I mean, not in a professional way, but we each have an area of responsibility, and all of us integrate our church with our work. So our businesses know that we are pastors, and we tell them that. And we say, sometimes I might meet in my office, I have an office, so I might do a church meeting at lunchtime. Is that okay? We don't care. So they just get to work, right? So I have three grown children. Janelle is my oldest daughter. She's married to Andrew Bovenmeyer. And then two boys that are all involved in ministry in some fashion. I went to Michigan State University. That's where I got saved, and a few years ago. And then that I already mentioned my work. My hobbies are rocketry, and I enjoy cooking. I really like grilling and cooking with wok. So. With that, that's kind of my background, and so each of us can share. We can go in a circle. So why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, my name's Joel. I got a hometown here in this location. I'm involved in like team ministry. I lead a small group. I was raised up as an elder in November of 2023. I feel like not a lot has changed since I became an elder in the sense of responsibilities. Other things have changed, but I'm a school teacher, so I work in a middle school as a math teacher and special education to PE students. And then I have four children, wife, all of that. So, I have hobbies. I like outdoors. I like sports. Being active. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot to manage all mm-hmm. of it well. Mm-hmm.
How old are your kids? About?
9, 7, 22, and 24.
Whoa, wow, that's quite different. Very good, thank you.
I'm Isaac. I'm from Utah Lakeville. I am not technically a pastor, or I guess elder, but I kind of been in training for a couple of years with some things. So I lead a small group with my wife. I lead an 8th grade youth group, small group. And then I teach at the youth group on Wednesdays. So that's my involvement with the church. I'm married and have two kids and one on the way. So 4-2 and halfway.
Negative zero.
4-2 in January. I went to the University of Northwestern St. Paul. Thankfully out of that. Well, sorry, not thankfully out of that. I love my time there, but I'm glad I don't. I work as a graphic designer for an educational advertising agency. Personal time, I play softball. I like cooking and baking and pitching about 200 pitches to my son every day because it's all he wants to do.
Okay, thank you, Isaac.
More patience than I have. My name is Tyler. I'm from Fargo, North Dakota. I'm part of the Submerged Church there. I too am not an elder. I was part of the Cottonwood Community Church, part of the movement to help plant church out in Fargo. Our church is pretty small right now, and my role right there, I'm a deacon there, and I make sure that I help out with the building a lot. I do the food for all the outreaches. We actually have just switched to from me cooking all the food because I came down with cancer a year and a half ago, and so I couldn't do the food every month, and so the church has switched to a potluck. They were asking me to switch to a potluck, so I'm not going to have to fight that. So I do that. I've been trying to do anything and everything I can to help take stuff off Paul's plate because he's our non-bivocational pastor. And so he, being as small as it is, he does everything from the music to all the counseling to I've had to counseling before too, but he does.
What's Paul's last name? Paul?
Letman.
Letman, okay.
Yeah. So, really, I in my mind, I just think of myself as a very military sort of thing. Like, first sergeant, number two, whatever it is we need to do. Sometimes give me the order, I'll get it done.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you, Tyler.
I'm Dan Diley. I actually grew up in Fargo. I reside or go here, go to a hometown in Lakeville. I lead a small group, which is the bulk of my ministry work. I'm an accountant, my trade, that's my profession. For hobbies, I enjoy all my family. I got a wife and a 7-month-old, who's keeping us busy and low on rest. But I really enjoy family time, and sports is a big hobby of mine.
Okay.
I'm Courtney. Nice to meet you guys. I am also not a pastor, so there's a trend.
Oh, cool.
I am involved with a small group, and I'm involved in the evangelism kind of work within the church. So that's where I spend most of the time. I work at Best Buy, so I'm the director of strategy and operations. So
okay.
When you say you have a larger team, I totally get that. There's a lot going on there. I've got 4 kids that are 7 and younger, and then I have a 5th on the way, July 11th-ish. So depending on when the clock starts on the age, I mean, somewhere in that range there. So, let's see. Hobbies and personal. Well, I have a lot of kids, and because I'm not sure how to like organize my time better. So as far as hobbies go, like there's not a lot of that. But I love cooking. I do love cooking. We moved here from Oklahoma, where I learned to smoke barbecue and do all that. So. That's a little bit about me.
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Jimmy. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I'm also not an elder pastor.
Wow.
I do play the role of executive pastor at our church. So I'm executive director. That's my title. So I'm on our church staff team 20 to 30 hours a week, depending. And for that, I do our finance, lead our small group leaders, lead our missions team. We have 4 missionaries around the world, and then currently we're in like a big real estate search because our church needs to move. So I'm doing that. And outside of that, I lead a couple different ministries in Columbus. I lead one called Iron Sharpens Iron, which is like 24-hour men's retreats for guys in the marketplace. And then there's like an intentional fatherhood ministry I lead called Kingdom Dads that I lead cohorts at my kids' school and in our church. So that's like all my ministry stuff. And then my job thing, my wife and I have launched a medical practice type business that's really her. I'm like the back office guy, keeping all the details together. And then we have 3 kids, 8, 6, and 4, 3 girls. I went to Miami, Ohio, and grew in my faith there with Campus Crusade. That's was a young believer in middle school, but had no idea what it meant to walk with Jesus till college.
Hmm.
And then, yeah, I'm a little bit like many of you, like, yeah, hobbies, personal time. I like to run. If I get a second to gather some guys, I'll go out and water ski. But other than that, I'm dealing with family life.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you.
So, I'm going to break the trend here.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So, ministry, I'm a pastor, actually, in the Twin Cities. We have two outreaches other than the main church.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a few more people who work with me in the mm-hmm. church. Other ministries, yes, I'm involved in other ministries. First of all, I now have the leadership of our church organization for North
mm-hmm.
America.
Mm-hmm.
Then I am also director of operations for a student ministry which operates in 8 countries. And then locally, there are some movements where I'm a part of that. So those are the ministry and assignments.
Mm-hmm.
They have 3 kids, 13, 10, and almost 5.
Mm-hmm.
School. So I have my computer science master's, and then also I have a theology. I went to Northwestern, and then I went to Bethel here for my doctorate degree. So, and that's about the school. Profession, during the day I work full-time as a principal architect, technology architect, the Federal Reserve Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then hobbies, I don't know whether I have time for hobbies.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I still like to write, and my thesis was on theology and AI, artificial intelligence. That was my so
wow.
I maintain a blog called as Theology AI to keep people informed about things which is more related to theological impact and religious impact and ethical things like that. I,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have a few things like that going on which I consider myself as some of the hobbies. So
okay. Will we ever have AI pastors, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's already there.
Oh, my gosh.
So in countries, you have AI who do funerals and other stuff.
Oh, wow.
I think it was in UK. I have it in my blog. There is a UK where there was a church where the entire service was done by AI. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So so there's a lot of things which are happening now. I wrote back in the 2018-19
mm-hmm.
when I was working on my can AI be inspired? Because sermon generation was all I predicted it. It's all
okay.
There now.
It's now. Yeah.
So how to balance between those things? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So since I felt like I had a background in both technology and. Mm. And even in my job, I do AI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have projects. I'm not like coding, but stuff. So yeah, that's a little bit about what's going on in my life. So.
Wow, just little things. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
And here and there.
High level.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm Jordan. I am a. I guess you call me pastor in training
mm-hmm.
at Blacksburg Ablaze Church in Virginia. I basically follow Tony Pearson around everywhere
mm-hmm.
and learn everything I can from him. And he coaches me on a lot of things. I lead small groups. I teach occasionally. I what else do I do? I attend the meetings and help plan things and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
All that sort of stuff. Shepherding the college students. Other ministries, it kind of starts to overlap some with my mm-hmm. profession and work. So I guess I'll talk about it all at once. So I have a business that I run that we build restaurants. So like old cars with new technology. And at the same time, I have students coming over, and I teach them science, technology, engineering skills, fabrication, auto mechanics, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's also ministry because they get to see my way of life, and I have a Blaze. People come over, and they see them, and then they get exposures to the gospel, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So it's kind of all together. And family. As you might gather, I'm pretty busy, so I'm a single dude.
It's okay.
I'm fine. School, I got a degree in mechanical engineering from Virginia Tech. I worked for 3 years as an engineer at a company building like bucket trucks and cranes and stuff. And then I left that job. And now, so I have the business, I do a Blaze, and I also, I work for Virginia Tech on like a contract basis. We have this drone education program, so like aerospace engineering, that type of thing. And we do that in like different countries, so we just did that in the UAE, which was pretty fun. Hobbies, personal time. I like hiking a lot.
That's what you hang out with Tony then?
Oh, yeah.
And hawking.
I'm not really a hawking guy. I've done it a couple of times, but it's not really my jam. I take care of the hawk a few times when I was traveling. That was fun. Until it tried to, like, attack me. That was fun.
Yeah, you didn't have it attack people you didn't like or anything.
I wish, but
yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that. No. Anyway, what else? Oh, yeah, I really like traveling, so, like, anywhere I go and see things, I do that. So that's me.
Cool. Well, thank you. Now I'm going to open. So I'm going to do question two and three together because they're related. So, given all the stuff that you guys do, how do you fit in your relationship with Christ? And then, what has He been teaching you recently? And we're not going to do this in a circle. Just whoever wants to speak first.
For me, I would say my ministry.
I went back to school for my degree actually a few years back. With the family, it'd be pretty tough, right? A lot of it was online. So I'd wake up really early and knock out all the stuff. Late at night, doing all that. I was tied to this, obviously. It's like I found out that I can do that, right? I can wake up very early, I can stay up late, and I can fill my time with whatever I want to fill my time with during that time, because my family is, you know, they're all shut down, basically.
Right.
So how I personally manage my relationship with Jesus, at the beginning of the day, quiet time like many others, right? Extended quiet time, I'd say. And then at night before I go to sleep, I'm in the Word and all that. Throughout the day, life is fast-paced, as you guys all know, right? So I try to look for opportunities, like how I can be, can I impact anyone? Can I show up differently at work? You know, can I look for an opportunity to share about Christ at work? And it's very hard in the corporate situation, but there have been times where we've even had someone come to Christ on a work call, one-on-one, but, you know, it gets a little dicey. But yeah, I mean that's what I try to do. I just try to prioritize it, you know. As far as what the Lord's been teaching and working with me recently, it's probably been for a couple of years now, but it's patience. So, long story short, I had an injury a few years ago. I hurt my back really bad. And it's been hurting ever since, you know. So you start to learn a lot about like suffering and pain and that kind of thing. So.
And did you say you were a runner, too?
No, not anymore. I wish I could.
Okay.
I played soccer growing up. And I can't run anymore. Right
okay.
So, I mean, I could try. It didn't want to go well for me later on in the day.
Right. Okay.
I think it was Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, you said it was running. Okay, that's right.
The tall, lanky guy.
Yeah.
No, that's just at least. Yeah, I just try to prioritize. And patience is then just big. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate your message recently.
Thank you.
So for me, what I found is, if I can conquer my mornings, conquer the day, otherwise it's very challenging. Even though I can sit, I can go late, but what I realized is my devotion and all is not that great. So morning is what my target. But then, recently, I have, not recently, but some time ago, I was in a there's a program here called the Eagle Brook Association. I was went for a program there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things, but one thing which stood out to me is the focus on spending time with God daily.
Mm.
So that has shifted me from more looking at my devotional time versus a prayer, Bible reading,
mm-hmm.
but to be very much evaluating and intentional that I'm through all the disciplines, am I really spending time with God? So that has mm-hmm. brought a lot of change in my perspective about
mm-hmm.
this whole devotion. I would say a little bit moving away from a, okay, I must do this to the real intent. Is really, am I opening my... So that's a challenge every day. How I spend time with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's a thing. The last thing I would say is in 2021, I was all of a sudden diagnosed with a very acute case of lymphoblastic leukemia. I had to go through a bone marrow transplant and all those things. So at that time, 1 year, since then, God has been teaching me a lot of things. At 1 year, I was out of work, everything, and 1 year was that phase in my life where I learned three things.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the things, there are a lot of things I learned, but so I always knew that time is limited.
Mm-hmm.
But during those days, I realized that energy is limited and resources are limited, or the talent is
mm-hmm.
limited. Because energy is limited, because then I really valued the strength we have to even walk, because there were days where I could not even barely walk 50 steps a day.
Mm-hmm.
So now that brought a change in my mind, saying that, okay, I have to use not only the time, but my best energy and my talents for the glory of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that really brought a shift. So every day now what I do is, whenever I get up, that's why I have a diary with me, I write up today what are the things. So I see my life now more as an assignment for a day rather than a something, you know, always. So my focus is, okay, today am I doing what I'm doing? Because
mm-hmm.
tomorrow is not in my hands. I realize that firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
So that has brought a lot of change. So that taken on a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So daily faithfulness is my focus, and daily that spending time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing God has been teaching me as I juggle with a lot of things, not to have any stress. So that reduces the stress, because whatever responsibility God has given, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do today, tomorrow will be fine.
Yeah.
Type of a thought came into my more realization.
Okay, thank you.
I think I just two things. First thing is I try to recognize that I try not to get bogged down by the task in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easy to lock in on that. At least for me, I hyper focus and forget that God is here with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to have this relationship. I try to take a break every 30 minutes, an hour, just to.
Mm-hmm.
At least just thank God for a current situation, or acknowledge to God something that's going on, or kind of just center my own heart. And then the second thing is Sabbath. Like, I try to make sure I take a day every week to just reconnect.
Do you have a particular day that you pick, or just it's random? Usually Sunday? Okay.
Yeah. I feel like there's more I should be doing, because that's still, like, I still have that hyper-focus, and, you know, I might take a break every hour, but in between, I'm just locked in. It's not always, when I do that, it's like, it gives Satan an opportunity to start, you know, messing with me. So, I don't know, it's probably more to it than that, but I'm still learning.
Okay. You know, you perfectly brought up question number four. Do you guys, and he mentioned a Sabbath. Do you guys have a Sabbath that you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I get maybe once in a month.
Yeah.
Because Sunday I don't consider myself, because I am engaged.
Right.
So it's not for working out. So I get once in a while, once a day.
Yeah, I agree. My son practices Sabbath, but said, "Yeah, but you're the drummer on the band, so that's your ministry." So, but I think someone that does, I think I really covet what they do. I wish I was something I could do more. I tend to do it in the evenings. Like I think our tendency is to, whatever, like even manage my relationship with Jesus is like I have to schedule it, and I have to probably be doing something else as I'm doing. Like I feel like I'm jamming everything together a little bit in the morning. So, like I said, I am not an expert at this. I feel like I survive. You know,
and again, that it feels like, yeah, all the things feel urgent.
Yeah,
Jesus is always there.
Right.
So I'm navigating everything around, navigating time with the Lord around everything else.
Right.
Instead of having that, like, no, this is just like first. Everything else has to fit around Jesus. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they did a. At the church, and they did what was his first name started with a P, and it was Cazarzo, whatever.
Peter Cigarro?
Yeah.
This is Cazarro? Yeah.
One of the big things he talked about was the Sabbath, mm-hmm. and how important it was. And since then, Paul has really encouraged us to and the other aspect, just to go back to the other question, was a lot of people only go to church on Sundays, mm-hmm. as their charge for the week, their
right.
spirit of connection to God, as you will. And so one of the things that Paul challenged, because we were doing it first thing in the morning, which is good and right, is that I used to be in the 10 years ago. Don't just plug in the morning and then check back with God at the end of the day. Being intentional to continue to plug in with them throughout the day. So the hour and a half that spent walking. Peter mentioned a little office thing.
Mm-hmm.
So your office goes out after a couple hours. Just like you would if you had to go to the bathroom and take a 5-minute break to go to the bathroom, you take 5 minutes to reconnect with the Lord on what's going on. So that's been a blessing to try to do that. And I totally agree. I'm trying to get the Sabbath in is difficult, especially when I get off of work on Fridays, Saturdays. Half the time I'm working a half a day on Saturday, and then Sunday I'm working at the church to do what I can to help out on that. And so I think I work half a day on Saturday and half the Saturday and Sunday. I'm trying to do work at the church to take more off Paul's plate. And then I'm working the other 5 days. Where does the Sabbath come in? So my compromise on that so far, and again, it's a work in progress, is when I get off on Friday until I have to work on Saturday, if I have to work on Saturday, and then the moment I'm off, usually between 10 and 11, we connect it back up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on Saturday. It's not perfect, but that's what we're trying to do. And ever since I got sick, it's one of the biggest imprints I've had God to put in my life is just the amount of time I have to influence my kids is so minuscule. So, it says hobbies. Before I had kids, I had things that I liked to do, but now my third job is my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's my first job. My kids and my hobbies and my personal time.
Right.
Really is.
Yeah, those go out the window. Yeah. That's what three full-time jobs means. You know, it's your work and your church life, and then your family is your third job. Yeah. They're all full-time.
Yeah, I think for me, what has the Lord been working with you on? I've got an opportunity right now, so I'm an accountant. My busy time of year is, I don't do taxes, but tax season, we're swamped, busy. I do a lot of work. We got a ton of compliance deadlines. So we had we birthed our first child, our first living child, this last November. And then we're kind of in the throes of that, and work just kept cranking up. And so I've got an opportunity right now where I've got 4 weeks maternity time. This falls like right in the middle of it. It's been sweet time. I'm just trying to really, I've been really praying on intentionality. I want to be really intentional with my time,
mm-hmm.
not boxing God for quiet time, mm-hmm. and then check the box on my notepad,
mm-hmm.
and be back to it the next morning. But just trying to pray, Lord, how do you want to use my time?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to use my time wisely? What disciplines can I create now when things are quieter and slower that hopefully can carry into this life inevitably ramps back up. So.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I have a little.
And where in scripture does God say
commonly get time to just slow down? Time. So.
Job on that. One of my children, I got 2 weeks, and then the next child, the company changed to give me 6. And so it was a sweet 6 week section. So yeah, that's it. That's good.
Yeah, I'll just add to that. I feel like, how do I manage relationship with Jesus? I'd say like the number one thing is intentionality. I just feel like I'm so by nature distracted. That's probably the next question too. Like, what has the Lord been teaching you? How sinful I am? And how sinful I am?
Oh, how sinful.
Just how like easy it is for my heart to wander.
Mm-hmm.
How like dependent I should be and I need to be. But instead, I just get pulled by so many things. One of the things, simple thing, just is like having a no screen time, just like for myself, so I'm not pulled in so many directions. And that's kind of like I'm going to go fast, but that's been helpful. And just being more intentional, just planning it, putting it in, saying, this is what my day is going to look like. This is what I'm going to put my time to. Is been so needed and helpful for me.
What do you guys think is the most challenging aspect? Now it says eldering, but let's just say ministry in general for you, and what's rewarding as well?
I think for me the most challenging aspect is feeling like any time I do something, it's taking away from something else. For example, I speak on Wednesdays and some Sundays, but because of my kids, the only time I really have to prep those talks, working a full-time job, is after the kids are in bed. So I have that 2-hour chunk. And that is also the only chunk that I get with my wife.
Right.
Dedicated time. So to put time into the ministry to prep message is like, all right, I have to put my wife on the
side. Right.
For the only time that I can.
Right.
So, and that's for example, but it feels like, everything else, right? Being with you on Wednesdays or going on a retreat with them, it's time that I don't get with my kids. So I think that's just, the most challenging, right? It's feeling like anything. It's that ultimate FOMO of I'm missing out on where I need to be because I'm doing something I also need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it all. So that's the way that I know. So I see a big advantage of
providing pastoral care.
Yeah.
Providing care
is
the most challenging thing for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because out of all these things, I show up as need but not proactively. Sometimes it's more reactive pastoral care versus.
Yeah, you're putting out fires.
Huh?
You're putting out fires.
Yeah.
Rather
than needed, right?
Right.
Not proactive.
Yeah.
Most rewarding is to, at the end of the day, realize that what I'm doing is impacting and helping and changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what you mentioned, when you mentioned your kids, my kids are grown now in a way, and I was thinking about this recently, and this is a recommendation for those of you who have kids. I've seen other pastors that sacrificed their family for ministry, and it is the opposite. It is, you'd be better off. I don't recommend it. So, because I saw others, other children just leave the faith because they felt like they didn't have, they were second to the ministry. And so one of the things I decided to do was, I knew it was going to be hard to fit them in, so I dated my kids, in a sense. I set a time, to just go out to lunch, actually leave work and go to lunch with them. That was often how I did it. I said, okay, we're going to meet together like this. And they loved that. They thought that was very, very helpful. I did it from 5 to teens, like until they left for college. And some ways kept doing it. And they really liked that. And so they had an hour of my time. And even though, particularly as they got to teenagers, it was like, hey, what do you want to talk about? No. But I encourage that is, don't sacrifice your kids for the mistress of ministry. It will, or else you'll regret it. And so I'm glad I didn't do that. And they appreciate that. I still wish I'd spent more time with them. And then I also do the same with my wife now, and we have a certain time that's ours, and we hold to that. And it's the only way I can survive, because like you, Jimmy, it's the same way. It's just like everything's crammed together, and you're kind of cutting corners to get to the next thing. And so, but that you can't. You just can't. Or else you don't want to lose your kids. I'm telling you right now, do not lose your kids. You'll just regret it. So that's
I'm kind of my gun shy about going, and I think that's part of the really held them back. All my coworkers have the experience to take that step to being an elder. Because with the job that I've enrolled and I'm doing at the church, I'm obviously I'll do more than volunteer and stuff. But once you put that elder hat on, I don't know, your phone is 24/7, people call and are nonstop, and with the, like, I know the Paul gets it all the time, and it affects his personal life, and he's actually pretty good at shutting off his phone at times and stuff like that. But I just know that I'm not willing to risk it. And so unless God hits me in the face with a book, I don't know that I will do that until my kids, at least until they're all in high school or something like that. My oldest is 12 already, and she already doesn't want to spend a lot of time with me. she shows up in other ways. But I know as they get older, they'll just be more independent doing stuff. So then I'll open up time for stuff. But yeah, like my youngest is being 4, and my young boy is 7. They want to do everything I'm doing.
Yep.
So much that I can't go to the bathroom myself.
Yeah.
But you know what? You have to take advantage of that, because at the point they get to control their own time, and if you haven't invested in their life enough, they will not put you into that. And that is.
That's really good advice. My wife's grandpa was a pastor, and he moved from Michigan to Tucson and did all the church plants, all the things, and he completely dedicated his life to the ministry and not his family, bless you. And it caused major impacts. His two sons. So we saw it firsthand, and they were just just trying to reconcile at the tail end. He had cancer. Mm-hmm. And they were just trying to reconcile at the very end of his life. A lot of sacrifice there. My father-in-law was at Bible college, also same with Bible college. Really rubbed it the wrong way, that whole experience.
Mm.
He could have stepped away, but he didn't. But he could have very easily stepped away from the faith, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He recommends the same things that you just said, which was, and he calls them, like, for instance, one of my nicknames, Olivia, so he'll call it Olivia Day. So go out
right.
with Olivia.
Have right.
Olivia Day. Just
right.
her.
Yeah.
So I appreciate what he said.
That's yeah. 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 And it doesn't have to be weekly, it's just once a month is about what we did. And that's all it took. It just, they know that they have your time for that period of time.
Yeah, and they are changed people.
Yeah.
When after that day, they are completely behaved for yep. a period of time.
Right. That's right. So,
the other thing that I learned from watching folks at Hometown too is when we are involved in different types of ministry, kids are always welcome.
Yeah.
So if I'm out evangelizing or something, it's not uncommon to have six kids with me in the van.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very young.
And yeah, take them with you.
But they're encouraged to do that so that they're not feeling like left out too, which I appreciate that.
Yeah, bring them into the ministry you're doing. Yeah. This is what we're doing. Come with me. You know.
Hand out some flowers.
Yeah, they love it. So. Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And then you can send them in front. Well, you can reject me, but look at these children. You know, it's like, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I could tell stories for days.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the morning when I go to church, and we open up the church, I give all my kids a duty.
Mm-hmm.
My boy goes and takes out he's 7 years old, and he takes out the blanket that the toddler kid's going to be on. He sanitizes them, and it's sanitized that, and it just air dries and stuff, so he just has to spray it down, whatever, and you can get it ready. And, told my wife when I started, and I was like, hey, I want them to have. Like this is their church too, and they have a responsibility and they have a job that
they
wake up too late and have their daughter to make sure the pews are good, the Bible is trash and stuff like that. And so you go in and you want to go to work, church don't like the job I'm doing or something. So yeah, that's one of the things that and I take all the children, so my wife gets to go to church without any kids trying to have to drag them to church.
That's really good.
I go to the church at work and stuff, and she's fighting the kids into church all the time, every day. And now she actually gets time with the Lord, and then comes to church, and she's not fighting anybody.
No, that's good. That's an excellent example.
Mine is a little different. I would say most challenging for me really is has to do with money, like how to allocate, how to raise money in a healthy way, and then also how to balance between my vocational stuff and my support raising. Because right now, like, that's more than my business is more than half of the income that I need, and also it's pretty new. So you started a business before.
Yep. Yeah. It's
takes a lot of time. So I'm incentivized if I want to eat.
Right.
I better pull these 80-hour weeks.
Yep.
Also, I have ministry stuff to do, and I've committed to do that too. And so, even though that isn't going to help me eat, I need to do it.
Yep.
And so, trusting God with that
can be a
challenge. But I'm learning. Most rewarding seeing lives change, for sure.
I'm going to skip to number 7. How do you see your vocation interacting with your ministry? Where do they cross or interface? How do you balance those?
Well, it's funny. I'm a loan officer and branch manager, and God's really opened up with my team, my staff, and even my boss. My boss will tell people that she talks to other people that pastor. But she'll be like, oh, somebody's family member dies, and she's like, oh, you should go talk to Tyler. He's a pastor on a part time on the side, whatever. So I'm not a pastor. Anyway, them knowing what I believe in and that it's really important to me. At one point, after I was done with the cancer surgery, then I tried to step down so that I could have less of a role involved, and that they didn't really allow that to happen. And so I had a conversation like,
so I will feel trapped.
Work's never going to interfere with my family time or my church. If it does, I will not win. If you are okay with that, I'll stay. Mm-hmm. They said they're okay with it. So things have been a lot better since I made that stance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of opportunities for people that I've worked with, and they come and ask me, like, a young lady whose dad is just not been very, he's a good guy, but not been good as a role model in finance.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's come to me about asking about, she's married now, but even with her husband, they started a new business and asking me about my thoughts on it, when they bought a house, and all these things, when they're doing their taxes. And so because God has blessed me with the skills that I have, I've just used to use that to try to implement it in my job. And the first part of it was, even when I first started managing, making a stand.
Mm-hmm.
The first stand I made was my boss swore a lot, and I told her, I said, hey, and I told my staff that I'm going to write them up because I don't want them swearing because they're good people, and I hate to have to fire them. The customer complains that they swore at her. Go to corporate, that could happen. So I said, we're just not going to swear here. Well, my boss did. So she, and I heard through the grapevine, she told me, all right, I got to work on not swearing when I go to Tyler's office. It was just things like that, that me making a stand on things, has really altered and affected people's life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really imagine. So it's been good, especially after I made a stance that church never lose out.
Right. Yep.
That's been really free.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
One thing that's been helpful for me, when I was raised up as a pastor, my wife posted on Facebook, and a lot of the teachers that I work with then found out. Which it's kind of like when you're really like a Christian, sure, everyone's like, then starts talking about the faith. And, so in that, there's just been a lot of opportunities. And then, you know, my son is going through cancer right now.
Mm.
We have a carry bridge out. There's a person on my teaching team that shared that with everyone in our school district. So there's just like so many like opportunities just to be very like, everyone knows now that this is who I am. So there's no like, I have to somehow get to the gospel or get to what I believe everyone already knows. And so in that, then there's people coming to me, and the people I work with closely are like, we've had lots of conversations, lots of gospel conversations, prayer together. So I think it's just like open doors that I didn't even like really try to create, and just kind of created for me.
Yeah.
And so now it's just, it's been way easier to be more open.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, for me, I see it as a mission field that God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I see it. There's a lot of people at the headquarters for Best Buy's here. So there's a ton of people there. And
are you in an office? Like, are you in a room?
Yeah, so that corporate building, there's like, you know. I see it as a mission field. I got a friend that's a Christian, and a close friend. That's Christian. I work too. He's older too, and he says the same thing. And we see it as like this is our mission field.
Yeah,
this is where God has us. So we're gonna keep our ears
and eyes open to those conversations and opportunities that might exist. People are going through a lot of stuff, and especially in corporate environments, like people are I would say at an all-time high for things like mental health issues.
Yes.
Depression and stuff like that. We interact with a lot of people that are feeling.
Yeah.
I'm also very vocal with my faith, and I think that is helpful within the bounds of what I'm able to do. But if I'm on a mission trip or something like that, everyone knows where I'm going.
Yep.
With, the questions that are like, hey, how was your weekend? It was great, and I'll tell them everything I did at church or with my small group. Just because, I did this or I did that. Just to see if that might spark a thought or interest in them, and it might open up conversations, and it has.
It's amazing how much respect that draws. Like, there's not, mission trip, you're a loser. Is there like, oh my God, wow, a mission trip. Gosh, maybe I should go. they start talking in those terms like, wow, that's really good. Yeah. They see it as good.
Yeah, and people want to know more and more. And, we have a friend that's coming to church now from a conversation just like that.
Yep. The one area that I've been, like, when they mentioned, say, hey, you don't want to bring professionalism into the church, right? And I would say there are tools from my profession, like project management tools that we bring, like Gantt charts and pie charts, something like that, or just critical paths, things that help you get projects done. Those I think are fine, but I find that they're so merged, particularly since I'm a manager of people. I have a little church at work. It is another congregation that, because of their woundedness, they really need my help. And it's among, if it's not the best, it's the best group because their needs are met. Like, I care about them like they're a church, like they're my people in a sense. And I'm often asked, what do you do? Why do you do? How do you get that? My team, everybody wants to quit, that kind of thing. It's like, well, you got to stop, yelling at them or whatever it is, or try this, or, people over procedures, don't use procedures to try to drive your team. So, it's really, that's been very, probably the biggest thing I brought to the table. Plus, then there's opportunities for the gospel, all the time. I have a new person just started that I'm pretty sure they're brand new out of school, and I believe they're a lesbian married to another woman, I think, but they're very shy about it. Like, they keep calling the other person the spouse or them, or it's like, well,
I would have never figured that out.
Oh, really? It's like, it's like I wouldn't pick up on it pretty quickly. But I just treat her like anybody, you're part of my team. That's what I tell her. You're part of my team, So, we're going to work together, and I want you to succeed, that kind of thing. So treat her just like another person. And so that's the, I think, somewhat how I interface. We're almost out of time. In fact, we are out of time, but I did want to ask this last question. Do you guys feel like you have permission to do your secular job? Okay. And when I say that, who is it from? Okay. So from God. Okay.
Yeah.
They said
Biden. Yeah, Joe Biden.
Oh yeah. Well, I got mine from Trump. No. But seriously, thank you.
The question on there, like, do you ever feel guilty or feel like a failure when you have to go to work to provide for your family? Or maybe that wasn't the question.
That's a good question, though.
Like, I think that, no, I don't feel that way. I do feel that, like, both places
all three of these places want more of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the church is like, oh, but if only you could give us a few more hours.
Right. Right.
Work is like, oh, we could get this much farther in the business if we spent more time on it.
And right.
Like, obviously, the family would take all your time if they could.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's that way with just two full-time jobs. Right. And one thing just gets a little dicey with two more, another thing. Yeah. But I feel the freedom and confidence to do both. I mean, on our, it's good because on our church team, our elder team has four elders that are bivocational and one that's full-time.
Yeah.
So I've like kind of watched these other guys figure it out too. Don't feel alone in that at least. And I don't want to do church full time. Like I want to have a foot in the marketplace. It feels like it's like the way to just have an into the mission field. I don't want to just be shepherding believers all the time.
Right.
You can always do initiative evangelism or whatnot, but I feel like the marketplace.
I used to feel like that. There was a time in my life where I used to feel guilty.
Yeah.
But I feel like I overcame that when Lord led me to study about the sacred versus secular.
Yeah.
And seeing everything as within the plan and
God. Everything sacred?
Everything
is
sacred. So then it just liberated me big time. To see that, okay, what I'm doing in my job is also something which is within the...
It's all ministry.
Yeah.
Within the plan of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, it's not like church is sacred and my job is secular.
Yeah.
So I removed that. So I talked that even with my CA once. They were asking. I said, the day I don't find value in what I'm doing, I stop doing it. Because life is... so short.
Yes.
To make sure all our time is spent on things which value, adds value to humanity or something.
Yeah.
So that actually liberated me. So now I don't feel the same way I used to feel some years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Definitely. To me, it's all ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really feeling guilty. Yeah.
The reason I asked that question because there was a time where I thought I was full time, and then something happened where we had miscalculated. We had four full time staff, and we miscalculated, and then we had enough for one person. And it was like, how did we mess this up? It just, no one was watching the budget, and salaries are the biggest cost in any church. So I had to go. I remember. I worked in nuclear, so I was walking up the stairs of a nuclear site, right? And they were tall and long. I remember walking up to them and going, you have failed. Like, you're walking back to the Wizard of Oz or whatever it was, you know, like, it's just back to the drudgery of you lost. And I was praying about that, and the Lord said to me, the word that came to mind was destiny. Like, this is part of the plan, so it's okay. So that's when I felt like, oh, I have permission. It's okay to do that. I did want to, I don't know when we're going to get kicked out, but let's keep going. And one of the things on the back of this, on the other side, there's some good verses and a couple quotes, but one of the things that I really liked is he says, this takes sacrifice to do this. And most secular people just have a job and their work or a family, and they mess that up. They can't do that at all. And we've got three or four different things going on. So you guys they're awesome. So I'm just going to make an announcement. Hey, everybody, real quick, you can keep talking and discussing until we're kicked out. And then we could, of course, you know, rebel. Yeah, so I'll leave that up to your individual teams to rebel. But eventually they're going to come in and kick us out. But you can keep going.
So
we have 9 minutes.
9 minutes? Okay. Okay. So we can keep going, or if you guys want to keep talking, or you can. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for facilitating.
Oh, you. Thank you. Thanks so much for coming. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we can break up, guys. It's okay. It's a good time to break.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for participating. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I really appreciate your thoughts. I actually liked your on sabbatical, because that's something I wish I could do better. Sabbatical Sabbath.
That has to work, but I do relate to what you said, like, Jimmy. Sometimes I feel like a failure in every realm.
Yeah.
Oh, and everything else.
Like a failure at home. Yeah. Like right now, my wife's like, I didn't know you were gonna be gone all day, like, cause our son's going through chemo and stuff, and she's just like, and I'm like, oh, I feel like I haven't put the kids to bed. I just feel wrong almost. And then I feel like I'm not giving enough to the ministry.
Right.
Sometimes when like they're asking me to do things, and I'm saying no. So there's just I just feel like I'm never really succeeding.
Yeah. I learned a new term that I now use at work. I said this is beyond human ability.
Yeah.
What is beyond? Are we trying to do things that are beyond human ability and
yet
are feeling guilty about it?
Yeah.
And I even, like some of the bosses says, why aren't we giving 110%? Because that's not possible.
Yeah.
That's not humanly possible. So it's like we've got to, you know, we've got to look at what's real here. And so, right, there's something's got to give. Then something's got to give. And maybe it means you know, we get demoted or something. You know, we got to give up something.
Good boundaries.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I need to work on that.
Yeah. And the more years that go on, the more I'm like, oh, I can't do.
Right.
I can't pull the like 16-hour day.
Right.
I did when I started the company.
Right.
Years ago. I'm like, no, I can't.
Or stay up all night anymore. That's I can't do that.
If I stay up all night, I'm crushed.
Right.
For weeks.
Right.
I worked up midnight. I'm like, good, I get to sleep. And then one of the kids is up at once.
Right.
Like,
right.
I should have never stayed up till midnight.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it.